So you know hockey season is right around the corner when the weather starts changing, gets darker a little bit earlier, and Bob McKenzie is coming on shows like this.
Yes.
You know the hockey season has finally arrived. Here is our hockey insider, Bob McKenzie. How you doing, Bob?
Excellent, boys. How you guys doing? Yeah, it was a busy day of radio today. I did Winnipeg at 8 a.m., Montreal at 8:30, Edmonton at 9, Leafs lunch at 12:20, and now you guys a day earlier because I guess we got the early Leaf game tomorrow night.
Wow. That's right. We're out here at 5:30 tomorrow.
I couldn't do that many radio hits, Bobby. Like, I don't know how you have the energy to be like, hey, how's it going? Like, eight different times. Like, I'd be like...
Because I'm a professional, though. That's how I...
Well, okay, then maybe I'm not, because by the fifth one, I'd be like, why are you calling me?
No, you're right.
Flushing calls.
I fake it. Well, but I got to do 18 a week or so, so I've got to keep the energy up, and it's only day one of, I don't know, 200 and something, so...
Well, we're glad we got you last on the day.
I got lots of energy for you guys. Guys, I'm ready to go.
There you go. We're expecting big energy. The NHLPA deciding not to open up the CBA conversation. So we have hockey for at least another 3 years without the term lockout coming up. Is this significant, or was this always going to be the case?
No, it's significant. I mean, you know, I'm sure there are some players who think, you know, this is a real difficult decision that could have gone either way, because in many respects, the players maybe gave up the most leverage they've ever had in a CBA negotiation. If they reopened it, you know, we're all on the clock to next fall, which nobody wants to hear about, but nevertheless, you know, the league wants to do a U.S. television deal. They've got Seattle coming on board here in the next little while. There's potential gambling revenue that might shoot through the roof if things go extremely well. So, you know, just the mere fact that the NHL doesn't want a lockout this time around might lead you to believe that the players maybe had a little more leverage than they've had in the past when the NHL was very much in a takeaway mode. And but yet I think with the players that have been in the negotiations for the past week in particular, where things have really, I think they've started to get some good traction and there's a positive feeling. You know, they did extend the CBA today by 3 years. If the league wants to back away from the table now, they could conceivably do it, and the players will say, man, did we misread that situation? But I think there's been enough goodwill on both sides that the players feel like they're going to actually get some significant modifications to the existing CBA for the balance of the 3 years that it's in effect. The league and the PA have talked about making some concessions to the players on that front, as well as doing an additional 3 or 4 year extension on the back end of the remaining years of the CBA. So what they're negotiating for now is not just for to modify the CBA for the balance of the term 3 years, but also maybe to tack on another 3 or 4 years on top of that and get 6 or 7 years of labor peace. So I think that's why they decided not to invoke the reopener, and they feared that invoking the reopener might change the tone of the negotiations and might put Gary Bettman and the NHL back in takeaway mode.
Bobby, what do you think the Marner number for his contract does for other guys like Rantanen's agent? Is he like, they must be going to these teams and saying Marner's not $5 million better than my guy, and what do the teams say? Like, it's,
well, it's real simple though. You know what, you're right. Mike Liut, who represents Rantanen in Line A, can go to the Jets and can go to Colorado and say, wow, you see the Marner deal, it's a good deal, that might be something our guy would be interested in doing. And the Jets and the Colorado Avalanche, and I'm not going to speak for Kevin Cheveldayoff and Joe Sakic, but I kind of will for the purposes of this. They're going to say, no, we don't think so, and that's it. These RFA things, the comparables are important in terms of everybody wanting to frame what they want to frame. But same deal. If Rantanen had signed last week for $8 million or $9 million. And the Leafs said, well, there you go, Mitch. Look, he signed for 8 or 9. We can't very well give you 10 or 11. And that Mitch would go, yeah, you can and you will, or I'm not coming to camp. And the real dynamic here isn't who you compare yourself to. The real dynamic is what happens if I don't show up on day one. And that's on both sides. It's a double-edged sword. Players losing money, might get this thing pushed to December 1 and maybe miss the whole season if they don't get a deal done. Or the team could get out of the gate really slow and say, geez, we, you know what, we hate to do it, but we're going to have to give this guy more money than we wanted to. So those pressure points are the only real pressure points. And I find the restricted free agents and or their clubs just get, they pick and choose when they want a comparable. If it works for them, they say, yeah, that's our comparable. If it doesn't work for them, they go, no, that's not it. And we'll just let the market decide.
Here's how I see Kyle Dubas learning from the William Nylander situation, and you tell me if you agree with this, if it's factual, or if I'm way off. My read back then was, let's say they were willing to pay Nylander 6.5 on a 6-year deal. They're like, that's it, take it or leave it. And he said, I'm not showing up until you pay me 6.9. And they sat there for 3 months and then finally said, all right, 6.9. My impression was, based on reports and what we've all heard, was the Leafs had 6 years at 10.5 on the table. And I think Kyle Dubas looked at it and said, I can sit here and haggle with this guy for the next 2.5 months over $400,000, or just give it to him today and he's going to show up. And that's why he ended up with basically 10.9 instead of 10.5.
Yeah, I think there's an element to that, absolutely. And I think it cuts both ways. Because I think Mitch Marner saw William Nylander miss all of training camp and 2 months of the season and come back and just have a disastrous year. And I think he saw that and he's like, that's not an optimal way to go about business. And I think the Leafs looked at it and said, we want this guy in here. And so, you know, Marner backed off on what we presume was a very rigid line that he'd drawn most of the along the way, which was, well, I'm not taking a longer term than Matthews and I'm not taking a smaller AAV. And as it turns out, he took an extra year in term and, you know, 800,000 less on the AAV. So he compromised. And I think you're right. I don't think the Leafs went into this thinking we're going to pay close to $11 million a year on a 6-year deal, even though I think quite a while ago they offered him the Tavares deal, which is 7 years and $11 million, which, you know, from what I understand, was probably summarily rejected because it wasn't the Matthews deal. So I think both sides probably learned a little something from the Nylander thing, and they've got a deal.
With Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider.
Was there, I mean, you know, with offer sheets now being released afterwards, information, was there any rumblings, I guess, in the insider world that Mitch had received any?
Yeah, there was talk. You know, there was a lot of talk about offer sheets, and we obviously got one that was tendered and signed by Sebastian Aho. And, you know, we heard all the rumors. Maybe Columbus was going to put an offer sheet in on Marner. Maybe the Islanders were going to put one in, and this team or that team. And yet we never heard anything concrete that they came in. And obviously, based on what Darren Ferris said on First Up this morning, he got them, but they weren't signed. And to that, I would simply say, well, then whatever, move on. It's not a big deal. You got an offer sheet, but you didn't, because to our way of thinking, at least to my way of thinking, the only offer sheet I'm interested in hearing about is one that got tendered and the player signed it, because otherwise it doesn't have any impact on anybody. It's like, you know, what do they say? What's the sound of a tree falling in the forest if no one's there? Well, what's the sound of an offer sheet being tendered if the player doesn't sign it?
Well, it's talk radio fodder. That's what it is.
It is, but you can just blurt out, I had 10 offer sheets. Really?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But if it's from the potentially the worst team in the league, it makes it interesting. If the Leafs would have been like, that's 4 first-round picks. Like Columbus? Minnesota's name's been floated around. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I don't
know.
I'm not sure how Minnesota would have done that, but nevertheless.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's where it gets dangerous. Teams get
floated exactly. Out, and so for me, it's like, it's ancient history, and fine, you can talk about it, but it doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless at this point.
Well, you put out your first Bob's List for the next draft, and it sounds like it's loaded, and it's loaded with Canadian talent. But is there, this time last year, I think the majority of the hockey world, maybe it's never unanimous, but most people looked at Ottawa and said, that's the worst team in the league. And that was what we were tracking all year. Are they going to win, also lose the lottery, and hand that first overall pick to Colorado?
Yep.
They were dead last, but they picked fourth. Are they definitively the worst team in the league this year for you, Bob? Is there a team that you're looking at league-wide and you're saying they're tanking and they want that top pick?
Yeah, I don't even call it tanking so much as they're just doing what they're doing based on the dollars and the players they've got. And, you know, there's a major rebuild going on there. They've got good young players. I mean, Thomas Chabot, everybody talks about a potential Norris Trophy winner one day. I don't disagree with that. Brady Tkachuk could play on my team all day long. Mm-hmm. You know, they got some really good young players. But, I'm sure that, you know, over the course of 82 games, that's going to be a struggle. Although I'm really fascinated because I really like DJ Smith, and I hope that DJ goes in and you know, the energy that he brings and the structure that he brings, that there's some way they can try to be competitive and keep it close. But, you know, they would be amongst the teams when you look at a massive rebuild going on. They're very young. They're either very young or they're very, you know, old in terms of fair to middling veteran players that are okay, but, you know, no stars. And so it could be a long year on that front, but you just never know until you start. And at the end of the day, even if they are the worst team in the league, the same rule applies as last year. That is, they've only got a 20% chance of winning the lottery.
Well, yeah. You've got that Alex Lafreniere kid. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Lafreniere.
Is, yeah. And you said, I mean, just reading your list and seeing it this morning, he's in a class all to himself. Are you expecting that all year?
He's kind of in a class by himself to start. 10 out of 10 scouts said he's the number one guy going in. I further asked him, is he head and shoulders better than everybody else? And they said no. Okay, so, well, is there a big gap, a little gap, or whatever? And 7 of the 10 scouts I talked to said that there's either a notable gap or a marginal gap. 3 of them said that it's just, you know, just split a hair between Lafreniere and Quinton Byfield and the two Swedish kids, Lucas Raymond and Alexander Holtz, Cole Perfetti, and this Russian goalie who's supposed to be the most exciting goaltending prospect in the NHL draft since Carey Price. Those are the top 6 guys on our list, and they're going to challenge Lafreniere to the number one spot. He's of those 6 guys, he's the only one that's a 2001 birth date. All the rest of them are 2002s. So that extra few months sometimes plays big in the draft, and not in a positive way sometimes, because sometimes the scouts will kind of look at it and say, oh, he's had a little extra time of development. He was in junior hockey a year earlier than these other guys. And so there might be more room for growth for these other guys and more what you see of what you get with Lafreniere. So he's a good hockey player, though. He projects as a top-line winger. He's really competitive. He's really smart. He makes plays. He scores goals. He's gritty. He's got some good size. So there's, he's the number one guy right now. But those other guys, Quinton Byfield, physically looks like Eric Lindros, doesn't play like him. Nobody does. He's not physically dominant and punishing like that, but he was the first overall pick in the OHL draft, played for the York Simcoe Express, and he's a great great young player. And those two Swedes are just dynamic. And Cole Perfetti, we saw him at the Hlinka in the summer with the pyrotechnic clutch scoring in the shootout a la Jonathan Toews, and he's a good Whitby Wildcat, so I like him. And
there you go.
Yeah,
his boy played with Dregs. Dregs' boy played with him for many years, so... So there's a good bunch of talent at the top of this draft.
Just don't jam anybody up and write an article right before the draft, Bob, and everybody will be okay.
Well, if they just maintain their consistency and work hard.
All that fun stuff.
Stay out of trouble. You're all good.
Yeah.
All good. Good to have you back, Bob. We'll do it again later.
Good to be back.
Week.
And congrats, oh, sorry I missed the nuptials on the weekend, had a family commitment, but by all
good,
accounts,
buddy.
It sounded like it was an awesome weekend.
Yeah, it was a great time.
It was
buddy.
A Collingwood shaker for the ages.
It was, yep.
Yep.
Good times.
That's awesome. Excellent, boys.
All right, Bob.
Talk to you on Thursday, I guess.
You got it. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider.